League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Manchester City is still alive here. Balotelli, Aguero!
Here goes Ronaldo!
Cross, and Dempsey's denied again! And Donovan has scored! Oh, can you believe this?
Surging forward with real menace here. Brilliant from Messi. Oh, what a goal that is!
RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. This is Soccer Matters. Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, Fanaticos, welcome into the show tonight. And boy, do we have a great lineup of guests for you. Happy Wednesday to everyone involved. And our appreciation that you're listening in as always. It's Twitter, Glenn Davis Soccer, Facebook, Soccer Matters. 713-780-3776 is a number. A couple of things I want to get right out on the table here. I'm going to tell you my feelings about the NCAA College Cup this weekend. Pros and cons. I want yours as well at 713-780-3776. Did you even know about it? That's another thing. 713-780-3776. Also, the MLS Cup Finals, Seattle Sounders. Without a shot on goal. Fight. Get into penalty kicks. They win the title over Toronto FC. We will have their head coach, Brian Schmetzer, on. It's a great story. It's a great story of a soccer city that better than any in the United States has been able to weave in all the people that have been a part and protagonists in their soccer community. And there is an absolute respect amongst a lot of people up there and the different generations of soccer. That makes up Seattle Sounders. And the coach who wins it, guess what? Local kid, Brian Schmetzer. We're going to talk to him about that tonight. We're going to talk to him about what it was like when he had to take over for Ziggy Schmidt after he was fired, bringing Nicolas Soldero to the team, as well as losing Clint Dempsey. So we'll talk to Brian Schmetzer. Matt Pence of the Seattle Times is going to weigh in. The celebration yesterday, if you didn't see it, in Seattle was unbelievable. The amount of people out there, just fantastic. Something incredibly memorable in Seattle. 713-780-3776 is the number. So Matt Pence of the Seattle Times, excellent writer. Brian Sciarretta, another excellent writer. He covered the MLS Cup Final for the New York Times. He will be on the show tonight. He's also the lead writer over at American Soccer. So 713-780-3776. Did you go to the NCAA Men's College Cup? Does college soccer mean anything to you? Did you even care? 713-780-3776. I asked a question to Dynamo fans on Twitter. Do you have a pulse? It wasn't meant negative. Only one person seemed to get their panties in a bunch over that one. It really was just about where you're at as a Dynamo fan. What are your thoughts? Because the organization, you would think, wants to know so as to figure out what the way forward is in the future. With that in mind, Dynamo General Manager Matt Jordan will be on the show tonight. We'll talk to Matt about a number of things, some of the recent player moves, and what is going to happen in the future. So when you see Shannon Williams move to Vancouver, sounds like a good move to me. It's something you would be positive about because they're trying to accumulate resources and cash so that they can essentially, I think, strengthen the spine of the team. Center back, center midfielder, and a striker. The striker position, interesting. There's been some talk about Will Bruin and Minnesota United. Obviously, I think the striker position is dictated a lot by Kubo Torres. This is not going to be an easy turnaround here. This is a reclamation project right now. 2006 and 7 is a long way back. It is a different and changing time right now. And I think we have to be realistic about where the Dynamo are, and then we have to ask the likes of Matt Jordan how we're going to get forward in the future, because they're the guys who are going to get it done. And I think it has to happen both on and off the field. So your thoughts tonight on the Houston Dynamo as well. We have the Champions League draw. Very interesting matchups there. Hey, Arsenal fan, by the way, with the claims of all your international caliber players, the Ozils and company, stop moaning about Bayern Munich. Yeah, it was a bad draw. It happens sometimes. If you're going to win the Champions League, you're likely going to have to go through Bayern Munich anyway. Let's talk about it. Manchester United gets a late goal from Zlatan, I think his ninth in the Premier League today. They were watching it down at King's Court. We can talk about Manchester United today. Some good moments of football against Crystal Palace, 2-1 win. Fact is, United still has a shot at top four. Point-wise, they're in about the same place as they were last year. So that has not improved despite spending over $100 million. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Let's go to the phone lines. We started off. Is that Barry? Barry, what's on your mind tonight? Okay, I'm not hearing Barry. I don't know. Is Barry there? Barry. Hi, Barry. Ah, there you go, Barry. What's on your mind, Barry?
Can you hear me now?
Yes, sir.
Okay, just a big Arsenal fan. I'd just like to know, I'd sit back and listen. Can you tell me, and you know I agree with you, you know, Bayern Munich is not a bad draw. If you want to be the best, you got to beat the best. But my question to you is, could you just dissect and just tell me a little bit about what's wrong with Arsenal? Every year we get close, but we never get to that cup that we're always seeking. So could you, from your expertise, give me a big lowdown on what's going on with Arsenal and their problems, even though we've had these high-caliber players for so many years?
Yeah, I'll just give you my judgment. I think, you know, when they were the Invincibles, right, it was Patrick Vieira, who was a steely midfielder who sort of embodied the team. They might have been a little bit harder. Had a little bit more of an edge to go along with all the footballing skill with the Henrys. And, the talent was ridiculous. So I think that's what people point to. But look, it's been a good season so far. They've played some entertaining soccer. The dominant team is Chelsea. I don't think there's any question. Pep Guardiola is struggling with City. Mourinho's having his struggles with United. Arsenal always plays a brand of soccer that's aesthetically something special to watch. But you can't keep talking about world-class players and then, on the other hand, get upset that you're getting drawn against Bayern Munich when you have the likes of Alexis Sanchez and Mesut Ozil. So, and I've heard a lot of people talk about this. So I'm not saying anything that hasn't been said before, but I think it's sort of a little bit of that edge and that competitive spirit and that character, which maybe goes knocked up a notch. And it may even be unfair to compare this team to the Invincibles simply because it's differing times for soccer players. There's a lot more money being made. It's differing times. You're pulled in different directions. There's far more social media and all those things. So that's basically my take, Barry. So
thank you.
Thank you for the phone call, Barry. We'll see. Manchester United, this could be the tip. Bayern Munich could be the tipping point for them in the Champions League. You knock Bayern Munich off, who knows what happens from a confidence standpoint. I believe we have Anthony now. Let's go to Anthony. Anthony, what's on your mind tonight?
I really just want to hear your opinion on how well Zlatan Ibrahimovic has been as a pickup for Manchester United, because I've been a huge United fan, but I feel like some people really feel he hasn't been the acquisition we thought it would be. I'll take your answer off the air.
Okay, thank you, Anthony. All right, so let's talk about Zlatan Ibrahimovic. He scored a number of game winners for Manchester United. He is an absolutely incredible player. Big, strong, skilled. He's got 9 goals, I believe. And again, he produces a match winner today against Crystal Palace. I think the criticism comes in, number one, because he doesn't seem like a long-term fit for United. That's number one. Number two, he might be a little counterculture to the way Manchester United has played over the years with a winger-based system and, you know, flying forward, the ability to break out. You know, he's more of a center forward that, you know, basically stays very central, looks for little pockets of space, certainly is an unbelievable finisher. So I think that's where some of the criticism comes, but it also comes because they're not at top of the league right now. And that's, you know, basically, if they're not in first place and he's not scoring goals, he's going to be criticized like any other superstar. Simple as that. 713-780-3776 is the number. 713-780-3776 is the number tonight. Talking Houston Dynamo. We've had calls on Manchester United and Arsenal so far. What about Chelsea? Antonio Conte right now. He is the man amongst managers. He is leading the way. And boy, do the English press love seeing the likes of Pep Guardiola fail. And Manchester City's been struggling in a big way. Arsenal now is third in the Premier League. And I do believe they lost today, didn't they? Didn't they lose to Everton? Yeah, I think they lost to Everton 2-1. And so there you go. They go to Everton and lose 2-1. And now they got to beat Bayern Munich in the Champions League. So they're still looking to make moves. There's differing reports that are coming out. Now we're seeing one that they're planning on a big bid for Julian Draxler. Ozil is coming out with a number of differing statements on his thoughts about the team. So we'll see. Transfer window is going to be interesting. Alexis Sanchez, where, you know, if Draxler comes in, where does that push Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain? What does that tell you about the confidence in him? 713-780-3776 is the number. By the way, Christian Pulisic, lots of interest around him, especially from Liverpool. Dortmund is saying he's not going anywhere. He's staying put. Premier League standings right now. Just to validate a couple of points here. Chelsea sitting on 40 points. Liverpool on 34, along with Arsenal on 34. Manchester City at 33. So they're 7 points off the pace. Spurs at 30. And there's Manchester United. They're 13 points off the top of the Premier League. 13 points. It's about where they were, I think, around this time last year after 16 matches played. Rundown again as to the lineup here tonight. And it is a good one. And we're going to get thoughts from Brian Sciarretta. He is the lead writer for American Soccer. Covered the MLS Cup for the New York Times. We're also going to have Matt Pence on from the Seattle Times. Matt Jordan will be on the show, the Dynamo general manager. Working on a lot of deals today. Where are the Dynamo headed? How do they get there? I asked Matt to describe the team tonight. And he'll tell you what that is in the interview. How you describe the Houston Dynamo. Yeah, some teams are direct teams, counterattacking teams. We're going to ask Matt Jordan, in his words, how you describe what the ultimate want is and the path forward is for the Houston Dynamo and how they're going to be there. The MLS Cup was the most watched championship final. Give me your thoughts on the MLS Cup and the NCAA college final. So you had Stanford come to Houston. And by the way, the coaches, Stanford, Wake Forest in Houston, they got to the final. Denver was here. North Carolina was here. And we had a fun show last Wednesday down at Bayern Munich. We had three of the four coaches in. The coach of Stanford would have been there if their flight hadn't gotten late. So we had a lot of good fun down there. But I do want your thoughts. Did anybody go to the NCAA College Cup? 11,000 tickets were sold. I think we had about 4,000 at each game. I couldn't tell because I was up in the TV booth calling the game on ESPNU. What did it look like below me in the lower bowl? I was told that was pretty full. Was that full? Somebody give me your impressions if you were at the game. 713-780-3776. There was nobody at the final last year. We had more fans. We had some acoustics. Is that a success? I don't know. I'm bittersweet about it. I was on the local organizing committee. I don't think our community does enough to get behind this. I don't think the NCAA does. I think it's tough for the Dynamo to get behind it because, you know, it's a long year, staff. It's tough. They're trying to sell season tickets. Did they really want to be selling NCAA College Cup tickets? I think the model's wrong. I think this year will determine that the model for the NCAA championships is wrong. I think ultimately there's two things that should either happen here. And you tell me if you agree or disagree. 713-780-3776. Make it like baseball. Just hold it in a specific site. Either Cary, North Carolina, or maybe out in Santa Barbara is the other one. Or alternate it. I don't know. But I think Omaha, Nebraska, what happens then is the community gets really behind it because of what it means to their community, all the dollars that comes in. And then it allows them to have a little bit more say with the NCAA because people understand that there's tremendous publicity being generated here and awareness. So that's one way to do it. Hold it in Cary. They've got to get their bathroom law figured out, I guess, because they moved a lot of championships out of there. Or Santa Barbara. And then the other option would be, you know what? Just hold it at the host of the highest seed. Play through the semis. Highest seed gets to hold the national championship game. You'll be guaranteed 4,000 or 5,000 in a good facility. You'll be guaranteed a good final on a surface that is going to be of national championship caliber because, you know, it's only used for soccer generally at these colleges. And they don't run into the problem the Dynamo does with football because, you know, the field was an issue. Can't lie. It's obvious. The field was an issue. Nobody can get mad at anybody for saying that. Coaches felt that their playing styles were altered, especially Wake Forest. Let's go to Max. Max, what's on your mind tonight, Max?
How you doing, Glenn?
I'm good, Max. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. I can say the atmosphere at the College Cup, they had more people there than they have had at a few Dynamo games this year. I can definitely say that. There was some enthusiasm, but not a whole lot. There wasn't a bunch of rocker singing and a whole bunch of chanting and everything, but it was still a very good cup, and there were more people than I thought would be there. So I was pleasantly surprised about that. So
yeah,
it's growing bit by bit.
Yeah. So did you enjoy the NCAA College Cup? Was there something genuine about watching college players?
What I liked about the college play is that the pace was actually very, very good. I played a lot better than I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be a whole lot of people just kind of stuck in midfield. Wasn't going to be a whole lot of attacking, not a whole lot of counterattacking. But to my surprise, it was actually very, very good. There was a great deal of pace on the pitch. Some very good crosses came in. Some very good play on the ball. I was really impressed.
Well, listen, Max, thank you very much for those thoughts on that. That's very important to me. I really appreciate you calling in with those thoughts.
And only one other thing. I saw the MLS Cup.
Yeah.
Toronto versus Seattle. Congratulations to Seattle for winning. But I felt so bad for Toronto because they really were trying. They were really
all right, Max, I'm up on a hard break. Thank you so much for the phone call here tonight. Coming up next, we'll have Manny G from El Bateon. We've got a number of big interviews tonight. Matt Jordan, Brian Smetzer, the coach of the Seattle Sounders. We will take a break, and we will remind you that Bud Light, big thank you to you. Longtime sponsors of Soccer Americas. Get out, get a smooth, clear, crisp Bud Light. Your sport, the global sport. American grown and imported for the latest concerts, festival happenings in Houston. Get over to Facebook, like Bud Light, or follow Bud Light Houston. Bud Light, raise one right now. It's a big night of soccer talk here on ESPN 97.5. Stay with us. Best in soccer talk, ESPN 97.5. We'll take a 7-Up break, a Bud Light break right now.
ESPN 97.5.
Vision, dreams of passion flowing through my mind. Then all the while I think of you. A very strange reaction.
Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
A big welcome back on Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. Now, as everybody knows, we have mentioned and talked about the NCAA Men's College Cup being held here in Houston. One of the cool things that happened on the weekend was the fact that the members of El Batallon, a number of them came out and actually kind of got the crowd going. There were some good acoustics on television. And one of their excellent guys in leadership who really helped to put this together, Manny G of El Batallon, joining us. Manny, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing well, Glenn. Good evening. Thanks for having me back again, man.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people want to say thank you for bringing the acoustics to BBVA Compass Stadium this past weekend for the NCAA Men's College Cup. Now, when you and I got together to talk a little bit about this, we thought it would be cool to sort of cross over the group at a game where, you know, normally it's you guys pulling for the Houston Dynamo and supporting the Houston Dynamo. And in this case, it was four college teams, but it was an event that the city was hosting. And, yeah, some pretty cool synergy occurred there with some of the young kids that started to come around you guys once you guys started doing your thing.
Absolutely. It was definitely infectious. There was a lot of the young kids that had come out to see both Wake and Stanford for the final, especially was when it really got big. We actually had a small contingent of Brazilians that were in town that just happened to score tickets to the event. So it was a really good mix, and you're right, it was a lot of synergy, and it was good energy in there as well. And it was good to have that for the final. There was some stuff, you know, that was questionable about field conditions and whatnot, but overall, that ambience was, I think, was fun for all of us. It was a great experience for EB guys too, myself included.
Yeah, it was really good from my perspective because we were doing the game on ESPNU, and for sure, you made it look and sound, and really brought a lot of atmosphere to it. What were some of the unique things about it that you liked, and what could you learn from that in reference to MLS or just being a supporters group and the passion of the game of soccer?
Well, I mean, I don't know that I could speak with a whole lot of other markets, but specifically here, I think one of the big things that was a revelation that I think El Batallon has been pushing for a while is sort of that general admission to be able to involve, groups of younger fans and groups of other fans that just want to randomly come in and join and are willing to learn the songs and learn the chants and get that involved. And I think we've sort of gone away from that element. And I think that just on the scale of what this was and how that worked out, I think that's a huge eye-opener. At least I'm hoping for the front office to be able to work with us to be able to do that, because I would love to open up El Batallon a whole lot more. I want, you know, El Batallon is for anyone. Might not be for everyone, but it is for anyone. Anybody who wants to come in and join and make some noise, absolutely, we always want them to come in and join.
He's the one and only Manny G of El Batallon. You got your guys fired up. Give me the names of some of the guys, you know, that we need to give a shout-out to that came down out of your group. I saw them over at the King's Court after. You guys were great. I'll tell you a little bit of a story about my nephew because he was in town watching the games and what he had to say about you guys. But how about some of the names of some of the guys that were out there with you?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Alex Sosa, Herman Sada was out there. He's one of the other leadership that was there. We've got Daniel Lopez. There's a handful of guys that were actually there. I wish I could, you know, name them all right
okay.
now. I got
to
be honest,
have to
I'm
name
like
them all.
Straight out of clinic, so my mind's going blank.
Yeah.
But a couple of Jose's. there was Gabriel Aleman that went through. It was just a really good group that had gone out there, and they put a lot of heart out there. I'm appreciative of them.
Yeah, we all are, and that's why we're saying a big thank you to you. Was it different for you guys, though? Was it when you get in there and you're getting ready to get going and try and create some energy like that, since it wasn't a Dynamo game and something you were familiar with, and it was four college teams, did that make it different?
Absolutely. Absolutely it did. There's less of that personal connection that you feel towards the team, and it's a little harder to get yourself going. You have to look at it, I guess, more from a broader perspective of the sport rather than the team and the club and the city that you've, you know, gone through thick and thin with and ups and downs with. So it's sometimes a little difficult to get that feeling going, but once you're seeing the sports in front of you and you're representing your city, we were able to get that, and apparently it was infectious enough to get everybody else involved, so that was good.
Yeah, so I brought my nephew over there after the game, and he met some of you guys. He met you, I know. And I get in the car, and he goes, man, those guys were awesome at the game today. So
I'm glad he enjoyed it.
You know, it goes to show you that effect, especially on young people, too, I think is a pretty
absolutely
cool thing. He's Manny G. El Batallon joining us.
Absolutely.
Well, I mean, that's why we're putting our heads together. And I think, you know, right, although some people may go, what's Davis and Manny G. talking about? Supporters groups crossing over with a college game. Actually, I think it's pretty unique. And I think it's like these things that you learn from. We try things that are different instead of stick to the status quo all the time. And you may learn something. I learned something. I don't think there's any question. So I think we got to keep trying different things, you know, to engage people in Houston to whatever the level of soccer is, because when it's on national television, it's our reputation on the line. And I certainly take that very seriously.
Right. No, and I do as well. Hopefully we'll see some more collaboration with, youth soccer clubs or maybe some of the local soccer teams in the universities, Houston Baptist and whatnot. I mean, I'd love to see them come out, and if they wanted to join in and get rowdy with us, you know, I would love to see more of that, of that connection with MLS and reaching out to the rest of the soccer community. It would be huge for such a fractured market.
It'd be cool to see some of the college kids engage with you, you know, the late teens and then into the freshman and sophomore year, those guys.
For
and,
sure.
And, you know, you guys could basically put on a clinic, you know, and, you know, this is what supporters groups are. This is what we're about. Here's how we do it. Here's how we do the songs, you know, the whole thing. Because, I mean, right on down to your drum, there's a lot of really interesting sort of rituals and things you guys go through.
Right.
Tell us a couple.
So a lot of the styles that we have are kind of like South American murga style is what they call it. So there's a lot of that sort of, a lot of it will start with maybe like a basic cumbia beat. You've got your cymbals and something that you might not always see, at least the style of drums. So usually there's a certain beat that you'll hear and that you'll only have maybe like the snare. From the snare, maybe draw in a little bit of that cymbal. And then you just kind of let that lull kind of bring in and let everyone kind of, you let it, match up to the heartbeat, match up to people. And slowly that lull just starts to hit. And then, you know, as they say in some of the music industry now, you let the beat drop, right? And you let it hit hard. And all of a sudden that's where it gets everyone pumped and get them jumped. So there is a certain method to the madness of kind of building up and to getting people into it. But that's really for the gist of it, that's really what it is. It's coming down into those very lighter beats, getting in with, you know, your snare drums and your smaller drums and the cymbals, and then bringing in some brass and then bringing in the big bass.
So you guys, obviously, you guys are opinionated in your group. I love that, too.
Most definitely.
You know, what are you guys hoping for out of the Dynamo in the future? What are the talking points among El Batallon when it comes to the Houston Dynamo here?
I think one of the main ones is that obviously we want a winning team. Realistically, we're not always going to have that. I don't think we ever expect to win every single championship every year, but effort that is placed on our part, you know, losing our voices personally, hands calloused, usually bleeding by the end of the game, you know, some sleep loss, and whatnot. We'd like to at least feel that's reciprocated, obviously on the field, but off the field as well. The way that it's run, with the personnel decisions that are made, with the scouting, with letting us know what's going on with the club, let us know. We never want to judge and say, you know, it looks like there's no effort. But when it looks like there's no effort, if you're not showing how much effort is being put in, if you're not publicizing that, you know, it's difficult to be able to gauge that that's being matched, especially when results have been going the way they have been going. So we do want, obviously, a more winning culture. One of the big things, obviously, that we want to do is collaborate more with the front office, with security. We want to be able to grow more. We want to make it easier for people that want to get involved and are passionate to be able to get into that stadium and easily get into the stadium and easily get into the section if they want to and if they want to be active. So we want to have that that relationship to where it's more open and more open dialogue for that. Helping us grow in that way, collaborating with us, hopefully in our new ventures with some charities that we're doing, and as well as our own growth. Because without that, you know, we don't always have the luxury to get into charities. We don't always have the luxury for opportunities like we were presented with the NCAA, the Final Four. You know, it's just an overall better working relationship and just showing more effort in everything and every aspect of the club.
Yeah, it was well put, Manny. You put that together very well there. That was some great wordsmithing there, and the message, a nice message and a clear message. You guys can influence. I mean, there's no comparison to supporters groups in soccer, in my opinion, and certainly in this town. I think you guys and the Texian Army and everybody who started this off back in 2006, you know, it was pretty clear to see that all the other teams in town basically took a page out of your book, didn't they?
Yeah, I think there's definitely been some influence and it's been noticeable. You know, I try to be as modest as possible. But yeah, I mean, even myself, I wasn't always in this position. There was a lot of guys that came in and set that foundation for what the influence of this group and what this group has been and what this group has become and what it is and hopefully what it's going to be. But yeah, there was a lot of guys that came before me that put in a lot of work, a lot of hours, and went through a lot of literal blood, sweat, and tears to get it there and to make it as influential as it has been, and hopefully even more so in the future. But I'm really proud of that, and I'm proud to be of this group. You know, sometimes we can drive each other crazy, and we have our conflicts, but that's what happens when, you know, there's so many guys that have known each other for so long, and, you know, emotions run high, especially on years like this, that it's difficult to stay positive. But through thick and thin, we are, I'm not overselling this, we're a family. And I'm, for that, I will always be grateful to the Dynamo that brought me this family.
Manny, thank you very much. It was really fun, you know, kind of connecting with you on this. You guys did a wonderful job bringing some great acoustics and some great energy to the NCAA College Cup this past weekend. I thank you very much for that.
Oh, it was our pleasure. Thank you for the opportunity.
All right. That's Manny G. El Bateon. Great guy. Friend of mine. I consider him a friend. Those guys added something to the NCAA College Cup this weekend. So wherever it is next year, I hope there are supporters groups engaged. Quick word here, a moment for John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm. John and his firm are personal injury attorneys. They're going to bring you a personalized approach. You go to DaspitLaw.com. It's 713-322-HURT. Whether your accident is car, boat, motorcycle, it could be industrial, plant, you might work in a refinery, you might drive an 18-wheeler. If you do, and you need the services of the Daspit Law Firm, it's DaspitLaw.com. They'll assure you they're going to treat your case as if it's their own. DaspitLaw.com, working for you 24/7, nights and weekends. Fight for your right for compensation with the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. 713-322-HURT.
ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
Hey, don't forget, Bar Munich. Get down to one of the great soccer-watching spots here in Houston. Bar Munich, say hello to Raymond down there. We had a great NCAA College Cup event there and supporters group there. Wonderful open-air spot. Football fans, you'll love it. Right in the heart of Midtown, it's Bar Munich on Louisiana. Also, the Gorgeous Gale, an Irish pub with that Irish feel. 5555 Morningside. Catch all the best football matches there. Stop by for a pint and a bite. Whiskey offering. Say hello to Peter over there. A lot of great open monitors there. Outdoor patio. TheGorgeousGale.com. Well, right now we're privileged to have on Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. He is the head coach of the Seattle Sounders. They are the MLS Cup champions. He is Brian Schmetzer. Brian, thank you very much for coming on.
Glenn, absolutely not a problem. Love talking about my team.
Yeah, I would imagine you do. Just take us into what it was like in Seattle yesterday. I saw the images, the parade and the fans. It just seemed remarkable to me.
Yeah. I was really, really surprised about how many people were there. you know, born and raised here in Seattle, I know soccer is becoming a national sport, and certainly we've had a ton of success putting butts in seats here in Seattle at CenturyLink. But people were literally lining the streets of downtown Seattle. Really nice reception for us at the Space Needle there. There were more people than I had expected. It was great.
Just looks stunning. You're a great story, and I like reminding people. I've had a lot of discussions about you when, you know, you took the job over from Ziggy and you were on an interim status and everything else. And, you know, the history you have is Seattle. You are Seattle. I mean, you played youth soccer there. You played all throughout your career there. You play with the Sounders in the NASL. You did your time as a coach. That's the other thing. You have done your time as a coach, as an assistant in a number of different places. The journey you've gone on to see this culminate with what happened in Toronto through your lens, it must be amazing.
Well, Glenn, I could say I'm really fortunate. I'll put it to you like that because, you know, look, back in the 80s when I first started playing, you know, playing pro sports, any pro sports, especially a sport you love, is great. It's a great occupation. I mean, even though we're making a ton of dough there, we love what we did. And, you know, I wouldn't change that for a bit. You know, you fast forward that through, you know, my coaching career, you know, lucky enough to have Adrian hire me for the USL team. Again, being involved with, you know, the USL level team was great. I certainly learned a lot. I could say I cut my teeth as being a head guy there. A lot of life lessons I learned there. But the USL team certainly, when it morphed into MLS, it was, you know, like, you know, a soccer team a little bit on steroids. And, you know, I was very fortunate to be part of Zig's staff, very fortunate to be there for 7.5 years through some really good times. And then, you know, I'm a realist. I get it. I understand that the story's been great. I work with a bunch of good assistant coaches. The team responded really well. I'm very, very fortunate to have things kind of lay out like this. And, you know, we're just, you know, just knocking on wood and, you know, maybe we're going to Vegas here the next day or two just to see what we can finish the year with. But we're pretty lucky.
He's Brian Schmetzer, MLS Cup champion, Seattle Sounders head coach. When you get the job, Brian, what's the first thing you have to do? Because it's obviously different going from being the assistant to the full-blown manager now. Did you have to do anything when it comes to proving yourself to these guys, or since you had been around them so much, was it just a natural progression?
Well, I think the biggest thing I had to do, and look, I had one opportunity. I had one opportunity to really make my voice heard that first meeting. So, you know, we had played that game against Kansas City. It certainly wasn't our best game. You know, Zig gets released, and, you know, he's saying goodbye to the guys in the squad, and then here I am. I'm up at the plate. So what I had to do was just remind them that, look, Zig's gone, okay, new chapter. We're going to watch some film here of the last game because we didn't play very well. And this is your team. It's not my team. It's not Ante's team. It's not Tommy, Jimmy. It's your team. So we have one chance to kind of get this right, to get the traction, to kind of really see if we can make a run at this. And this is how we're going to do it. And I think, you know, that message resonated with them in the sense that they believed it was their team. I don't think any of them were afraid of the hard work. I think there was a good foundation there of good pros, good solid pros. So I think it was just a lot of reminders of why we're doing this and, you know, a tweak or two of how we do it. But, you know, they'd heard my voice for 7.5 years. So, you know, it's just the, you know, accountability part, reminding them it's their team and, you know, just trying to incorporate some of the new guys that led to our success.
He's Brian Schmetzer joining us here on ESPN 97.5. And it's just such a great story. You know, I look at your friends, that you grew up in the game with out there. Your good friend Peter Fewing at Seattle University. Alan Hinton, who you played for. I got a sense there's an incredible pride from a local standpoint as well, right? The fact that you ultimately get the head coaching job and take this team to an MLS Cup.
Oh, for sure. For sure. I mean, Alan started my career. He's been a big help along the way. You know, Jimmy Gabriel, who was an assistant coach at the University of Washington before I was able to grab him for a couple of my formative years. Peter has been a really dear friend to me for many, many years. I go watch his training sessions. He obviously comes to our training sessions. There's a lot of people in Seattle that have been involved with our club that have wished me well, certainly on the success. But I always say thank you to them because they have part of the success too. I mean, Neil Megson, Bernie James, I already mentioned Alan and Jimmy, Dave Gillett, Pepe Fernandez, players, Frank Barton that were there in the 80s when I was playing. You know, the newer crew, the Chance Fries, Billy Crooks, all of my USL guys that stuck around, really the fabric and the community of soccer here in Seattle and Washington. It's a pretty close-knit group, and very happy to share this with all of them.
And I got to say, I think the fabric of what you just said, and these names you're mentioning, you know, for people that are listening into the show, goes back into different eras of Seattle professional soccer. But you guys have weaved that all together. I mean, you've kept as many of these people involved with the franchise as possible, which I think is just been so vital. I don't think any team in the league does it as good as you guys do in Seattle when it comes to keeping former players involved, keeping icons in the soccer community involved. I don't think anybody does it as good as Seattle.
Well, I think it's testament to some of the characters that are out there. So when I went back to the 70s, you know, Pepe Fernandez was a great player. I remember watching him at Memorial Stadium. He and my dad started an indoor soccer facility up in Everett. So he stayed in the area, stayed involved in soccer. You know, a lot of the guys from the 80s, you know, were still in the community. Maybe they weren't as involved in the soccer side of things, but they all got jobs and stayed local and, you know, just were here. Frank Barton's kid, Kieran, actually played for me when I, you know, was with the team in 2002. You go through the 90s. I mean, Bernie and Neil and Billy Crook and Chance Fry and all those guys, I mean, they are all out in the coaching community. You go to the 2000s, you know, in the USL days, you know, Zach Scott, you guys obviously know about. I mean, he was there since 2002.
Sure.
But, you know, Roger Levesque, Taylor Graham, they work for us in the front office. There's a lot of people that really have put their time in here in the Seattle area and chose to make Seattle a home for themselves.
You know, you whipping off all these names, it's pretty incredible because you know, in a way, you to me are sharing all of this. You're recognizing all these people, and I just think it's magnificent the way you do it. I'm going to take you to your team now. How much sort of redefining of individual jobs and sort of roles that players had did you have to do once you got the head coaching job?
Well, I think that just came down to you know, the preferred system that I had. Obviously, I had a head start because I was with the team and knew the personalities that were there. You know, when Obafemi Martins left in preseason, that was a big blow for us. And we really couldn't kind of figure out where we were going with that. Were we still going to play with a 4-3-3? Were we going to try 4-4-2 again? You know, how did we put all the pieces together? And what I wanted to do was just make a statement of, okay, look, this is how we're proceeding forward. And I opted for the 4-2-3-1 just because, you know, I think Christian Roldan has been a really tremendous player for us. And, you know, putting him next to Ozzie was kind of the starting point for the group of players. And everything just seemed to fall into place when Lodero showed up, the 4-2-3-1 with Dempsey there, those first four games, we drew with the Galaxy, and then we won the next three. So things just seemed to click all at the right moment with that formation and the personalities. And, you know, even when we lost Clint, we stuck with that formation just because, you know, the guys felt comfortable with it.
When you lost Clint, it's always interesting when a player that is got that big of a personality is that good of a player, is out of a team for whatever the reason it is. In his case, thankfully, he's okay health-wise. But at that moment, what goes through your mind? And do you see players assuming a little bit more responsibility? Do you see some sort of organic reaction when he leaves the team?
Well, I mean, the organic reaction for all of us was that, you know, 4-0, 45 minutes down in Portland. I mean, that, you know, it was a shock for us to lose Clint. And it took a little bit of wind out of our sails for sure. And then what you saw at halftime of that game is we kind of said, hey, you know what? Let's not feel sorry for ourselves. We're still a good team here. And we're going out there in the second half to make a statement. We were going out there to be competitive. And as I'm sitting there getting into the guys, Ozzy stands up in the middle of all this disarray and 4-0, 45 minutes, and he says, you know what? We're going to come back and we're going to win this game. And the guys go out there. We obviously didn't win the game, but we obviously scored two, and we were competitive. And I think that was, you know, one of the turning points to the year was, you know, we couldn't afford to feel sorry for ourselves. We lost a good player, but, you know, the belief within the squad was still, hey, we're still a good team, and we can still do this.
He's Brian Schmetzer of the Seattle Sounders, the head coach leading them to the MLS Cup championship in Toronto over TFC. Last one before I let you go. Just talk about the importance of this final and just the environment that was up in Toronto and just kind of how you had to deal with the climate and everything up there and the way this sort of went down up in Toronto. Just, you know, this was a game for men.
Yeah, well, I make no excuses as far as the cold, the conditions. I mean, both teams had to play in there. I know that, you know, there's reports out there that we didn't, you know, we were sitting back and, you know, all that. That's not true. We had prepared all week long to try and play like we play, get Ladero involved, keep possession in their half, get Jordy untracked. Credit Toronto for taking us off of our game plan. I mean, they came out as the home team, and they were obviously fired up. It was in front of their home crowd. They did a really good job in that first 10 minutes. You know, then I think we got a little bit of our footing. We certainly weren't great, but we had some moments. But the part that I love about my team is that they've always found a way to kind of persevere, to figure out ways how to win games. And even under that immense pressure that Toronto put us under, because I think Bradley had a good game. I mean, Altidore was good. I mean, it was, to me, it was an exciting match. Our guys just figured out a way to hold on. They figured out a way to counter in the right moment, put them back a little bit. And then in the penalty kick shootout, which, you know, none of us like, figured out a way how to win the game.
Roman Torres, during the 90 minutes, I just thought was a tower of power, was just immense.
Yeah, he's going to get more notoriety for his penalty kick, but yes, he was an absolute beast during the game.
Well, listen, Brian, thank you so much. I remember your days when you used to come to Houston with Seattle's indoor team with Fernando Clavijo, and you won a title there as well. You were an assistant coach then. You're at the top of the mountain now, and I know it's an exciting, busy time for you, and I'm very appreciative you could make a few minutes for us and our listeners here in Houston. Thank you so much, Brian.
Glenn, no problem. Happy to do it.
Well, we appreciate it. Go have some more fun, and thanks again for coming on.
All right. Okay, thanks.
All right, that's Brian Schmetzer. What a great catch to get him on the show tonight. Seattle Sounders, I love the way they weave it all in. I mean, he's a Seattle-born, bred kid. All his soccer playing there, professionally, assistant coach, you name it, he did it. And what a great moment to get him on the show here tonight. Okay, a quick word here for Liberty Kitchen. You know I'm passionate about great food and my friends at Liberty Kitchen. Think of it as modern American comfort food. They're classics taken up several notches. Burgers, mac and cheese, chicken fried, farm stand crisp food that Liberty Kitchen stamps its claims on, and it owns it. Big flavors served at neighborhood socials. You can get lunch, supper, or brunch. Heights, River Oaks, Rice Village, Garden Oaks,
Treehouse, Memorial City. Incredible gumbo. You got to make sure you get the crab meat with it. Oysters on the half shell. They got all the raw stuff. Burger bowls, robust steak, house smoked meats, grilled chops, steaks, signature cocktails, and cold beers. Now you understand why Liberty Kitchen is a regular stop for me. Get over to Liberty Kitchen. Take a break. We got more to come here. It's Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.